Hey, everybody. It's Ken Bergman Podcast. It's 6:13 a.m. on Monday, June 25th. Look at us. I don't know. I still don't know when the longest day of the year was. I think it already happened. It usually happens before this point in June, but it's still awesome out. God, it's just gorgeous. I should take a sunrise pic. I was thinking to open the sunroof I'm in a Buick Enclave, I think it is. But it's too windy, and I know, let's make better pod. Let's do better audio. Oh, God, are there a trillion things to talk about today? I was trying to get my thoughts in order about, like, what to focus on, and then I just said, ah, screw it. Let's just go. All right, it's Monday morning. Oh, God, I'm supposed to go lobby Congress today. Yeah, boy, did I have a busy weekend. You know what I did this weekend? After I took a deep breath, I volunteered my time to a organization that I also donate to. Talk about them making out. I donate 10 bucks a month and I go and volunteer my time because it's for a worthy cause, gosh darn it. And it's for, it's the Wolf Pack. And what they do is we're trying to get an amendment to the Constitution to outline how we're going to get money out of politics. Basically, because it's such a problem. Overturn the Citizens United and whatever. Anyway, so I was out lobbying, essentially, talking to people in Baltimore, in downtown Baltimore, right outside, you know, the what used to be Camden Yards, I think. It's like Safeco Field. I don't know what the hell it is. I can't even remember. Petco Park. No, it's something else. I can't even remember. SunTrust. Just name a company. It's probably it. And there's the Raven Stadium there too. Anyway, I was walking around, knocking on doors, talking to people about voting in a Democratic primary to unseat a woman and bring in a guy named Antonio Hayes. That's what I was doing. And I trust them and I believe that it's the right thing to do. Right? So I'm talking to all these people. And, you know, people of all colors, but also predominantly African-American as well. And I love Black people. God, I love Black people. Actually, I had a guy tell me today that he asked me, are you sure you're not Black? Actually said that to me. A guy named Marquise. Actually, and I have an audio with him. Anyway, I love Black people because I don't know. I always get on everybody's good side. And especially when I meet them door to door. I used to be a canvasser. some of my loyal podcast listeners will enjoy these stories. I had jobs in high school. With some listeners of this pod where we went around selling windows and selling stuff, going just door to door and running into women in their bathrobes and dogs that'll jump out and bite you, all kinds of things. It's worse than being a mailman, especially when you're selling stuff people don't want. Anyway, a lot of experience doing that, and doing this is much, much easier and also leads to nothing but positive conversations, because why are we knocking on your door? We're knocking on your door to vote in Democratic primary. It's not even election season. You're throwing these people off guard. You know, it's already June. Why? I mean, people walking around about an election, you're like, huh? Who? What? Are we voting on who the next KFC guy is going to be? Did they get rid of Norm MacDonald and who's the guy who used to play Clinton on Saturday Night? Daryl Hammond. Did they get rid of those guys, this KFC guy? We're bringing in somebody else? Let's just give it to Dennis Rodman and be over with it. That's the way I look at it. Anyway, nobody's expecting an election. So you walk around, you're like, hey, what's going on? Be like, you know what? This guy is going to try to get money out of politics, which is the core systemic problem. It is the problem. It's number one. You cannot address anything else. It is the bleeding of our bodies if you brought us in to the hospital in the emergency room. First thing we do is stop the bleeding. We don't do it. We just allow the bleeding to continue. We actually make the bleeding worse and we exacerbate it by passing something like, or having the Citizens United case in the Supreme Court decide to say that corporations or people or can spend money just like people, and essentially in unlimited amounts through different types of PACs and organizations and whatever. And it's a free for all and there's foreign money coming in. We can't trace it. It's a disaster. It's just an utter mess. And I feel like you solve that problem, or at least work on it, everything else starts to fall in line, and all of a sudden your representatives listen to you and do what you'd like them to do, and people act rationally. And you have things like comprehensive but also reasonable gun control, and potentially a public option for healthcare. Why can't we just have options? What's wrong with options? Options are good. So anyway, I always thought it was a stomach problem. So as I'm going door to door, many conversations had, just got to walk in there with a smile and be like, here's all I'm looking for. Did have a few long conversations, one long conversation with a guy, and I'll go over this one because this one is kind of most important. It's not necessarily joyful, but it's important. So there were four of us walking around doing this, and one of the guys went up to a door, started talking. The rest of us went down the street. And then after 5 minutes, he was still back there. So we went over there and he was talking to a grandma, older black lady. She was funny. She was nice. Then her son came out, big guy. And he was really nice, but he wanted to vent his concerns about how he feels his neighborhood is treated by the government. And we went over all these things while his mother, who had been outside talking to the first guy, like he wanted to put her inside because he didn't want her like interrupting or hearing him bash things or talk about what's going on in the neighborhood too, actually. That's probably what he didn't want her to hear. And so he kept pushing her back in the door and like shutting the door on her. And it was so funny because she keeps coming out to us, to him. She's like, do you boys need any water? I have some apples. Would you like any apples? And I'm like, oh, she reminds me of my mother. And he's like, mom, get inside, mom. And he's about 55. He's not a young man. I think that's how old he said he was. And mom, get inside now. And she just keeps coming out with more food. And as we were all talking, he went through, he said, do you understand how the school systems have been neglected in the area? Do you know that we didn't have heat in some of the schools in the area over the wintertime? Kids were going in there all bundled up. I mean, you're bringing like a portable fireplace to sit in academic class. Academic is not a class. Civics, I don't know, pick one. Algebra. That's how bad it was. And he pointed that out to some of our guys that didn't know that. Also said, there's been like 35 break-ins this year already in cars. And then he also points up the street and says, it's kind of dark here at night. There are no lights here. That would help. And also, what are they going to do about, people getting mugged, people getting shot, people, drug deals happening. And he points right up the street and there's a drug deal going on. He's like, yeah, there's that going on right there. And through the course of our conversation and talking to him for about a half an hour, twice we witnessed the drug deal happen within, like five townhouses away. Right. There were also some cars like stopping and in front of us and stuff like that, because we were four white guys like in front of this guy's house for half an hour too. I think that was kind of going on. Anyway, point is he was a very reasonable and measured man who is taking care of his mother and dealing with, he said, you should feel safe. I don't care whether you're Hispanic or black or white or whatever. You should be able to go out to your car at night or in the morning or when you come home. You say, I work a late shift. I come in at like 4 or 5 in the morning. He's like, you should be able to go out to your car and come back to your house without having to worry about your safety and what's going to happen to your property on an hourly and daily basis. And he said, there could be more police presence. They could be doing something about this. And so I stepped in, because this is what I try to do in life, is whenever there's a problem, clearly a persistent problem that nobody wants, nobody condones, yet still persists and exists, well, then clearly the solutions that people have been implementing are not working. So let's come up with a new one. All right. So if there isn't, the area isn't well lit, if there's fear of crime, I said, all right, well, what if we put cameras up? What if there are cameras going all the time and we got facial recognition software on them? And anytime anybody's breaking into a car, if they ever take a hood off their face, we are going to have them, and we're probably going to be able to have them because they're eventually going to take that hood off their face, and they're not going to be smart. No one can really hide from everything. You're going to be able to pick off people by the way they walk. It's not just going to be facial recognition. It's going to be biological recognition. And there are probably going to be ways, even through a face, through a mask, even, that you're going to pick off somebody's like cheekbones and things like that. You can run regressions off stuff. There's crazy things that you can do now that computers can take over. Anyway, I was like, what about the cameras? And he was in the mood to shoot down anything. I mean, he was a very respectful man, but here's four white guys that are not from Baltimore coming to town telling him to vote for somebody. And if I was him and I was having a rough life and I had, you know, I encountered multiple people that were victims of physical assault in the neighborhood. Multiple people I talked to that were, there was a guy who was a victim of the knockout game a few years ago, 61-year-old guy. He said he was in the hospital for weeks and had ended up having not an induced coma, but they had to do something about the swelling in his brain because a few days after he had suffered the injury, he had to go back to the hospital. Really, things that when you think about just getting out of the car and walking up and talking to people that you don't realize is going on. Anyway, so the guy that we were talking to for a long time, he was in the mood to, if I was him, I would kind of be like, who are these four freaking white dudes who are coming here to tell me to vote for somebody? Like, who do you think you are? But he was very respectful and also wanted to air his group. So I started to come up with ideas and he was in the mood to shoot him down. And so he didn't like cameras. Then we started talking about the police. And I got this sentiment frequently when speaking with people, which was the police are a complicated entity. And there are some of them you can trust and there's some of them that are not good. And also you want to probably try to stay away from them the most you can. They are not... they're a part of the community, actually. You know, they're kind of like a relative. That's what I kind of got from the police. They do not fear the police or hate the police, but they know that the police are not going to solve all their problems. And even though the job of the police is to stop crime, you would think, right? But then there's a lot of crime, it's tough for the police to do it. Now, anyway, I got that sentiment a lot. So we started talking about the police and I said, well, how about body? I love body cams on the policemen. And he says, they're just going to turn the body cameras off. And I was like, well, we got to make it so they can't turn the body cameras off then. I tried. But the truth is, as he, you know, I think I was at the point at which he pointed to the second drug deal going on right down the street. And a couple of the guys that I was with got a little weirded out and wanted to leave. Didn't scare me though. Anyway, it makes you think, and it also, you know, I'm sitting in my driveway right now and I'm not worried about somebody coming out and exercising the knockout game on me when I get out of my car. Maybe I should, maybe, but the truth is that it's not happening with that level of frequency where I live or where I have been. Now, that's not always true, but anyway, the point is it shouldn't be that way anywhere. That's the point. So how do we get there? Well, all right, buddy, you shot down those ideas. Now that you're not here, are there any other ideas I can think of on the fly? I mean, we witnessed a drug deal, two of them. I don't know if it was the same dealer. It might not even be the same dealer in the spot. It's just a good spot. I mean, you got to admit it's a good spot. It's not really well lit. There was like a little park. That's the thing. There's a building that is condemned and the condemned building shouldn't have any people living in it, but people are squatting or whatever, or it's just become a recluse place. Okay. Condemned buildings. All right. I can address that one then. Condemned buildings are absurd. That's ridiculous, especially when you have a homeless problem. I don't know what I'm talking about. Hold on a second. Let me back up. Condemned buildings mean they're not suitable for living for a couple reasons. All right. I'll jump back on to something. I am kind of know what I'm talking about here. In areas where where the neighborhood is difficult and you have areas that can be abused, like a condemned building. Of course, I wouldn't like it to be condemned in the first place, and I'd like it to be livable and fixed up, and I'd like to find cheap ways to do that through artificial intelligence and robotics and repair and stuff like that. But for another pod. In the meantime, let's assume the building's condemned. You can't really do anything about it. I was mentioning cameras. I think that extreme monitoring is okay in this situation. I kind of agree with China here, actually, guys, folks. Oh, man. I do. All right, this condemned building. Can't we have some cheap-ass cameras all around it so that if people are crossing in or whatever, you get a sensor that goes off, you have your motion detector goes off, you send a robotic policeman over there to be like, get the hell out of here, dude. And if the person doesn't listen, or the person abuses the robot, or the person squats and continues or whatever, you go in and you arrest them, and then we have this situation of incarcerating people who don't have a place to go and continue to break laws, which is another issue. But the point is what this guy was complaining about was a condemned building that's being used as a base for people to run in and out and do drug deals and abuse the area. If you prevent the condemned building from being abused through extreme monitoring and then a response when the monitoring goes off, you should be able to prevent that area from being as bad, and the person's gonna have to move on to someone else and somewhere else, and eventually they won't have anywhere else to go if those methods are in place, surveillance is in place. Are we on board with that? Are we on board with that level of surveillance? If it saves people from getting knocked out and getting killed, getting mugged, why? How does it save them? It limits the areas where people who want to act nefariously and do things on the street can operate. Because we make the street monitor too. I would live in a neighborhood that was severely monitored and was picking up drug dealers. Because I'm sure if you were monitoring street corners all the time, you'd be able to pick up drug dealers instantly. Even if you didn't have people do it, or you didn't have AI doing it automatically and you actually had people doing it, it's still got to be super easy. You can pick up hookers. I mean, pick up meaning identify. Pick them up if you want. Drug dealers, hookers, public urination. There's just a million things you're going to pick up. I'm okay with it, right? It's public. It's public. We shouldn't be taping that stuff and then releasing it, being like, oh, we got Courtney Cox walking across the street here. We shouldn't have to do that, but I'm okay with it. I think I'm okay with it. I think it'll save lives and it make a more secure society. Don't you? Maybe. I don't know. That's been 18 minutes. I can't even get into other things. I'm just glad I'm not watching the news all the time. God, that was so awful. It's nice to avoid it. But I'm supposed to go lobby Congress today. Oh, it's been said. And the election is Tuesday, not today, which is tomorrow in Maryland. If you live in Baltimore and you want to do something in that city. Interesting weekend. A weekend I do not regret volunteering at all. So, all right, Ken Braverman's out for now. We'll be back, if not later today, tomorrow. Probably tomorrow.